Hello, dear friends, and welcome to the Star City Podcast, the place where you can hear stories about work, family, life, and faith in conversations with people just like you. I'm Brian Smith, and returning to be with us again is Virginia State Police Officer Rick Jarrell. Rick, it's good to see you again, my friend, and welcome back to Star City.
Brian, it's good to be here. The response that I received from friends and family who listened to the podcast last time, it certainly was very encouraging.
Well, I know a lot of people listened in, and hopefully a lot more will listen again this week because this is an important week. Now, the last time you were with us, we were talking about the National Faith in Blue Sunday, which our church at First Roanoke observed for the first time. You helped us do that, and we're looking forward to doing so again. But this is National Law Enforcement Week across America, yet it's something that maybe a lot of people don't know very much about. Can you tell us a little bit about what's so special about this week, and how did it come to be recognized?
Well, Brian, in 1962, President Kennedy issued the first proclamation for police officers, or Peace Officer Memorial Day and National Police Week, specifically to remember and honor law enforcement officers for their service and sacrifice. May the 15th is Peace Officer Memorial Day, honors law enforcement officers killed or disabled in the line of duty. As late as 1984, the National Law Enforcement Officers Memorial Fund was dedicated to honoring those men and women who have fallen, telling the story of American law enforcement. And this is straight from their website. In 1991, the actual memorial was dedicated, a list of names of all police officers that have been killed in the line of duty, since those records have been taking place since 1776, since we became a country, 1786, I'm sorry. More than 22,000 police officers have been killed in the line of duty since that time. Our agency, the Virginia State Police, actually just had their memorial service today to honor those men and women in the Virginia State Police who have given their lives to serve their state and country.
And Rick, where was that service held?
It's held in Richmond at our headquarters.
You know, Rick, numbers show that anywhere during an average year in America, between 120 and 200 law enforcement officers die in the line of duty, with most of those happening in the midst of a criminal act. And you have a few more numbers of interest that you can share with us. Would you do that, please?
Certainly, Brian. Of course, 2020, 2021, and part of 2022, a large number of the line of duty deaths in the United States were specifically due to COVID, COVID-19. But in the state of Virginia, I pulled this up earlier, since those records have been kept, there have been 544 line of duty deaths in Virginia. Incidentally, 15 for Roanoke City PD, Roanoke City Sheriff's Office, one. The Roanoke County Sheriff's Office has had three line of duty deaths. And the Virginia State Police have had 61 line of duty deaths, and that includes four canine service dogs. The most recent statistics that are being honored this year in the state of Virginia, three that are kind of near and dear to us. John Elwood Painter was a police officer with Bridgewater College Campus Police. He was killed in the line of duty last year in February 2022 due to gunfire. Caleb Daniel Ogilvy, Covington Police Department, was killed in the line of duty March 14th. He was only 35 years old, had only been a police officer there for about a year, and had prior military service. For the state police, our most recent line of duty death was Captain John Gregory Blankenship. He headed up our BCI, Bureau of Criminal Investigations, here in Division 6 in Salem. He passed away COVID-related illness August the 7th, 2021. He was 61 years old and had served the department for many, many years.
So, Rick, this time, our National Law Enforcement Week is to recognize men and women in law enforcement, really, no matter what their role is, and also to remember their families. True?
That is correct.
You know, what are some other ways that we can show our appreciation, support for those who so faithfully and unapologetically put their lives at risk to serve and protect us?
Well, as a trooper, this is really easy for me to talk about because this happens often, but I don't know that everybody sees this. Being able to just walk up to a police officer and tell them, thank you for your service, that happens often, especially with children. They will come up and do that during different times of the year, including this time of year. We have people will maybe give us a card, or it happens humbly. It happens more often than I would have imagined, but people offering to buy my meal when I go out to eat, being able to have somebody send an email or give me a phone call, somebody that I know, especially if they hear about something going on, they'll call and say, hey, are you okay? I just heard about this on the news or the radio. So just being proactive and showing your appreciation, it doesn't have to cost anything. The words of encouragement mean a great deal.
And as believers and followers of Jesus Christ, also praying for those who are in law enforcement and praying for their families and verbalizing to them how much we appreciate them, and at the same time to let them know that they're certainly in our hearts and in our prayers as well. You know, one of the things that I will never forget during 9/11 is looking at how New York City police officers, while thousands were running away from the Twin Towers, they were running to the Twin Towers, like those in fire department and first responders, trying to help and aid and rescue and save lives, while others were trying to get away from the disaster. What a stunning, remarkable, and memorable picture of the courage that men and women in law enforcement show every single day, and many times without anyone ever even really noticing what they're doing. Now, Rick, you are presently serving as a recruiter for the Virginia State Police, but you've also served in the past with Corporate Chaplains of America. I imagine that means that sometimes you find yourself in conversations with other officers who are going through some pretty tough times. Can you tell us why your faith is important to you and why this week is important to your fellow officers and their families?
Well, Brian, I actually joined the state police to volunteer to be a chaplain. As a chaplain in the state police, some of the things that I've been allowed to do is to officiate funeral services for those that are retired members of our agency. On more than one occasion, I've gone to the hospital to be close to a family whose husband was injured in the line of duty, to help assist in doing a death notification, to be available during a line of duty death funerals, to be available for those families. Our chaplains also care for those that are in our academy, as we call them trainees. We make ourselves available for the trainees while they're at the academy to encourage them while they're under a lot of stress going through the academy. I think the reason that faith is important to me is that I personally operate in my life that I try to do everything as it relates to my faith in God and my relationship with God, and I want to I want other people to have that kind of confidence that they can do their job, being a police officer, being out there on the road to do their job, and not there's nothing wrong with being having fear. But fear should cause us as law enforcement to have courage. So we can either have the courage to go forward, or we get the fear causes us to run from danger. And we are trained, every police officer is trained to run towards that danger, to have the courage in spite of any concern or fear that they may have.
You know, this was portrayed, Rick, so clearly for our entire nation just within recent days when you had that mass shooter in Texas, in that shopping mall, and a single officer ran into that mall, the first one to respond, and was able to stop him from killing more people there in that crowded shopping center, where the last thing in the world was on anyone's mind was that they would be confronted with someone that they didn't know who was yet trying to kill them. I imagine it would be very hard for the average American family to understand what images come to your mind, what stress you face as you see your loved one, your husband, your wife, your son, your daughter, your mom, your dad, picking up their bulletproof vest before they go to work that day. You know, that is a environment and a pressure that is much more akin to being in the military in a time of war than it is just going to the office to take care of your work and your deadlines that week. Rick, describe for us, if you will, some of the emotional and personal challenges that you alluded to just a minute ago that the families of our law enforcement officers face because of the stressful and oftentimes dangerous work their loved one does as either a sheriff, a police officer, or a trooper.
Well, Brian, I'll say this for any spouse or significant other of a police officer, the most gratifying sound that person can hear is when that loved one comes home and they take the Velcro straps off of their ballistic vest and take it off. That means that they've arrived home safely. But some of the things that occurs in everyone's lives to different degrees. But for a police officer, the stress that they have going from call to call and not really knowing all the time, often, most of the time, not knowing what to expect. They've just had a phone call or been dispatched. Public perception and scrutiny of, you know, some people have a negative idea of law enforcement. No matter how good a law enforcement officer is, someone may not have that view of them, and so they have to deal with that. The trauma experienced by a police officer, whether it's a line of duty shooting, whether it is a motor vehicle crash where someone is injured or killed, especially when it's a child, family situations that a police officer may be going through that are hard to overcome because of their shift schedule and not being home as often, especially for special events like birthdays and ball games and things. And a lot of police agencies do not pay as well as they should, maybe as well as they could. And so a lot of police officers come under some financial strain. And as I mentioned to you before the podcast, probably even as we think about the Law Enforcement Memorial Week, I think another stark reminder is an organization called BlueHelp.org. BlueHelp.org is an organization that tracks and addresses law enforcement suicide. We talk about the physical aspects of the job, but the mental health aspect of being a police officer. Just since 2017, when these numbers have started to be kept, 963 known instances of suicide. The numbers are kind of interesting, sad but interesting. Of all those suicides that have been recorded, almost 84% have been white. More than 90% are male. The average time served is over 16 years, and the average age group of those men and women who have taken their life has been 41 to 50. So those total numbers include retirees, medically retired, but the largest category are those who are actively serving in law enforcement who have felt that they have no hope, they have no help, they have nowhere to turn. And I think that's something that also needs to be addressed, as you have mentioned.
You know, Rick, it's in the military, we've heard a lot in the last several decades about PTSD, and rightly so. But at the same time, first responders, and particularly those in law enforcement that are having to carry a weapon and sometimes use that weapon in defense of others or of stopping a crime, there are things that a law enforcement officer will experience that are unique to his job, his responsibility, and he will see things that the average person will never see, except maybe perhaps on a movie screen someplace. But this is real life for those that are in law enforcement. And so I do hope that this week we'll remember to show respect, show patience, lift up in prayer, appreciate, and take initiative to reach out to families of those who have loved ones serving in law enforcement. You know, one of these reminders is the color blue. There's something called Project Blue Light. It's a nationwide recognition of police officers who have died in the line of duty. And by displaying a blue light, whether that's a candle in the window or porch lights, or maybe you've seen the color blue featured prominently in window stickers or specially designed American flags, all of this is designed to remind us to show respect and honor those that are in authority over us. You know, Rick, as a Christian myself, I have to remember that those in authority, the Bible says, are there by God's will. He's placed kings and governments in authority over us. And if I'm going to truly display my submission to the authority of God in my life, then that also includes to showing submission and respect for authority of those that God has placed in authority over me in this life. Now, Rick, before we go, would you tell us about one or two stories, if we have the time, someone in law enforcement, either past or present, that you would like for us to know about, and you can be as general or as specific as you'd like to, but why does their story matter to you?
Well, Brian, I am a recruiter, and one of my most recent applicants who went through our State Police Academy graduated back in January. Her name is Carrie Van Austin, married name is Layman. Carrie had an uncle that was a state trooper in Virginia, and he was killed in the line of duty in 1951, Wallace Monroe Simpson. When I spoke to Carrie about her reason why she wanted to be a trooper, that was one of the things that she mentioned was kind of a driving force. The sacrifice that he gave, the work that he did, was something that she wanted to emulate. She's graduated. I've met up with her and her husband since they've graduated, and just an awesome trooper, doing a great job over in the Richmond area.
Now, Rick, there's another very interesting part to this new trooper story. Would you share that with us as well?
Certainly, Brian. As this couple was going, this husband and wife happened to be going through the hiring process at the same time. They were engaged to be married. I mentioned the rigors of the academy, how difficult it was going to be, and they were determined that they were going to get married prior to the academy. So 2 weeks before they started the academy, they got married. They didn't even get to enjoy a honeymoon. They spent the next 7.5 months separated 5 days a week, living in different academy dorm rooms. But they actually, Zach and Carrie Layman, are the first husband and wife that actually went through our academy at the same time and graduated.
Wow. So it wasn't just her, but her fiancé, and they get married, and then they spend the next 7 months apart going through the academy as husband and wife.
That's correct.
What a wonderful story. Thank you for sharing that with us. You know, Rick, we hear a lot about the wokeness and the anger of young adults. How inspiring to see a young woman in her 20s giving her life and signing up to serve others and place her own self at risk at times to serve as with the Virginia State Police. And that's happening not just in Virginia. I'm sure that same story can be repeated and is repeated all across the nation. You know, you mentioned something a little bit earlier, and in case someone's listening and they'd like to make a contribution, take one more moment to tell us about the National Law Enforcement Officers Memorial Fund.
The National Law Enforcement Officers Memorial Fund was founded in 1984 to honor those men and women who have lost their lives, and basically to tell the story of law enforcement. As I mentioned, it's on their website. The memorial was actually dedicated in 1991, and it specifically honors the more than 22,000 men and women who have given the ultimate sacrifice in the line of duty.
So it becomes a tangible way for someone to help the families of those who've lost a loved one, who's laid down their life in service to others, correct?
That is correct.
Okay. Well, Rick, thank you so much for dropping by and talking with us about this important week to remember, honor, and appreciate our law enforcement officers and their families, especially those who have paid the ultimate price to serve and to protect us. May God bless you, my friend, and thank you for all you do as well.
Thank you, Brian, for having me. It's been a pleasure.
And with that, Rick, we're out of time for our Star City podcast today. I'm Brian Smith, and I want to say thank you for listening in to this week's podcast and conversation. I hope you have a wonderful rest of your week, and remember to live each and every day by His grace and always for His glory.